Rock Central Tuesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the mobile Kintech studio. Kintech Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. Yes, we're in the mobile Kintech studio at Boston Pizza here in Abbotsford. So we're going to spend the next few hours here at BP and then head over to the Abbotsford Center for game three of the Calder Cup final between the Abbotsford Canucks and the Charlotte Checkers. This hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main side and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less at Boston Pizza. We are at Boston Pizza. We're going to do the show live from here, maybe sample some of the many goodies they have to offer here at Boston Pizza ahead of the game, get to watch the Oilers try to stave off elimination against the Florida Panthers for a second straight year in the Stanley Cup Final, and then head over to the Abbotsford Center. Seems like a pretty good tee-up for the game tonight, Seth.
Perfect tee-up. Being at BP's, getting to watch some hockey, enjoying some nice food. We got to work, so the beverages may not be for us, but you can enjoy the beverages before the game.
You always could. 32530 South Fraser Way in Abbotsford. So if you're heading out to the game and want to pregame before you head out to the Abbotsford Center, you can join us here at 32530 South Fraser Way in Abbotsford ahead of the game tonight between the Canucks and Charlotte Checkers. Busy show. We've got Don Taylor coming up in about a half hour's time, and then PWHL Vancouver's general manager Kara Gardner-Morey is going to join us after 4:30 today. Talk about some of the very exciting signings they've made in free agency and the draft now a week away for PWHL Vancouver as they continue to fill out their roster. All right, let's get to it. It's the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is the Open on Canuck Central where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is the rumor mill keeps developing. More names coming to the forefront. Troy Terry's name revealed today by Andy Strickland. He had his report denied by a Ducks spokesperson.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean whomever gave him the initial report that Troy Terry could be available was incorrect. So it's silly season. We're going to see a lot of this stuff. We've already seen a lot of this stuff, but it's another interesting name and another one to add to the list because, Sat, you know, this seems like a daily occurrence now. I'm going through and I'm seeing everybody teeing up free agency, and the Athletic projections have Suter as the fourth best center available, and they have Brock Besser as the fourth best winger available going into free agency this year. And that sort of illustrates just how thin each market is, that the Canucks are potentially moving on from two of the top options in free agency at center and wing, a team that is needy of top six forwards, yeah, but are moving on from some of the options they potentially had internally.
Yeah, and I think, you know, before we get to the Troy Terry stuff, and you're right, I mean, it was kind of downplayed by Strickland, who put it out himself, but that doesn't mean that he may not be available for the right price, which is true for pretty much any player, right? Mm-hmm. But on the whole free agent front, it's interesting because when you talk to people with the Canucks, they very much believe that they're going to free agency, that it's though these players are going to get to free agency, Pugh Suter and Brock Besser,
yeah,
but that's not going to close the door in their view, at least unless they spend all their cap space in trades, like Rutherford told us himself when he was on our show a few weeks back, that they would be very much interested in bringing those guys back if they move off the numbers they currently want.
Yeah.
So let's say Besser and Suter get to free agency, and for whatever reason, the term or the money isn't there, then maybe, just maybe. But when you get that far reach, usually it means the guy's not coming back.
Yeah, it would have to be a pretty cold market for both of these players, right? Suter's projected contract is at $5 million per season on probably a 3 or 4 year term. And then Besser's contract projection is over $8 million. And we know the Canucks have sort of set their ceiling at $8 million for Brock Besser, and that wasn't enough to get it done.
Yeah, and over a 5 year term, and the term being, you know, the big issue here. Now, I've mentioned this before. The Canucks believe that Besser is going to have options in free agency, or at least that Besser believes is going to have options in free agency that are going to give them more money than the Canucks are willing to give them. But let's say for whatever reason, because the Mitch Marner thing might be putting a wrench into a lot of situations, right? Because that's a big name player, and if he's going to take his time, how much does that clog the market up, right?
Guys start to get antsy in free agency, like, hey, I want to get something done. I want to move on with my summer and get ready for next year.
And this is why you have to get the free agency. Let's just say that there is a team, hypothetically speaking, that has let it be known through some channels, like they do nowadays, that, hey, if a player, if the right winger from Vancouver, who's a free agent, who's born in Minnesota, becomes available, that they would be willing to give a guy like that a six-year contract, right? But let's say that team is also interested in Mitch Marner. And let's say July 1st comes around and Marner wants to take his sweet time to figure out where he wants to go.
He wants to take meetings with a bunch of different teams, see what they all have to offer, that kind of thing.
And then all of a sudden, what Besser, say, thought was going to be there is not there. Would he then consider what the Canucks had to offer potentially? I mean, you can't close the door on that, but usually when it gets that far, it doesn't look good, right? But I would say that the Canucks, at least their posture is that they haven't closed the door on either player. It's just that they believe it's going to have to take free agency and those players maybe not getting what they had hoped for it to work in Vancouver, which means, again, the trade path is the most likely path the Canucks are going to be taking here.
And it just continues to illustrate just how shallow each pool is in free agency, and something Rutherford mentioned to us, you know, it's not just that players wouldn't want to come to Vancouver. There's not a lot of high-end options in free agency, and they may have their cap space spent, alluding to potential trades or otherwise having the Canucks in a spot where they don't have a ton of cap space left come July 1. Like, you think about the UFA centers that are ahead of Pugh Suter. It's Tavares, who's most likely staying in Toronto. Sam Bennett, who's most likely staying in Florida. And then there's Matt Duchene, who Dallas would like to keep, but they have some cap restrictions that they might have to figure out before getting close to what a contract might look like for Matt Duchene, who, for even at his advanced age, has been really good and looks like a guy who could still give you, in a 2-3 year contract, could still give you value. But again, it just doesn't feel like a player that's coming north of the border from everything we've heard. And then ahead of Brock Besser on the wingers list is Mitch Marner, Nick Ehlers, and Brad Marchand. So all guys that aren't really viable as options for the Vancouver Canucks.
No, and none of this looks overly, and also they don't fit. They don't really also address the Canucks' need. Like, I'd say Suter probably addresses the Canucks' needs better than Besser does. But it's interesting. The Canucks themselves don't feel like Suter.
They like Suter
sustainable.
Yeah.
Like, they don't think that he actually is what he showed at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So if the numbers in the 3.5 were high threes, okay, that makes sense for us. But otherwise, we don't, because we don't ultimately think he's going to be our second line center, right?
Yeah.
So when you look at the profile of player, even Brock Besser, we know as good as Besser is, unless you have a center you feel good about pairing him with, who's he playing with?
Yeah.
So when you look at the free agent market and you went through the players, like, we've gone through this, it doesn't look great. Like, it's not, you're probably not going to be able to answer that in free agency, right? The only way you answer it in free agency is, for whatever reason, let's say the Maple Leafs sign Besser and do something else, and Tavares has some money left. There's and maybe he comes and sign a short-term deal, right? But that's a hope and a prayer.
Yes.
And I don't think the Canucks are looking at that. So when you hear guys like Troy Terry come around, and again, Troy Terry isn't necessarily that center.
Mm-hmm.
But is he an enticing enough player that the Canucks should be knocking on that door?
Troy Terry? I don't think so. You know, like, if the Canucks are going to spend their trade assets on a player, I'd rather spend that asset on a center rather than a winger.
So
I like Troy Terry as a player. I know he can help you score goals, but again, I feel because you're going to have to, it's not going to be cheap from a trade acquisition perspective. I wouldn't think. I think the Canucks trade assets are better allocated to trying to get a center, if possible. That's where I'm at with that.
I don't necessarily disagree. The thing with Troy Terry is he's a right-handed shot and he's young.
Yeah.
And does he have potential to pop? You know, we talk about Paterka.
Mm-hmm.
How is he a player that can be something greater, a bigger impact type of player? But here's the thing with Anaheim, especially with what you heard Strickland report about how he may not be available according to a Ducks spokesperson. They want a freight for him.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're paying a heavy price, to your point, is that who you're paying a heavy price for?
You might be better off looking elsewhere if that is the case. You know, like when it comes to free agency, and seeing the options, I'm almost more likely to want the Canucks to dip back into and do the thing that they do with bargain guys and go after the Michael Asamonts of the world and look at guys with, you know, a nice underlying profile and hope that, you know, something like that translates into better production than what we've seen from that player. But, you know, Asamonts is somebody that sticks out because Tampa tried it with Asamonts. We've seen other teams try with it. He was on Seattle this year, and I think he only ended up with 9 goals for the total of the season, but had one of the better shot rates per 60 in the entire National Hockey League. So, you know, you're looking at these underlying profiles and wondering, could that be a guy that eventually that has more production in him than what he's shown? But again, you're projecting and it's, you know, crossing your fingers and hoping one of these throws at the dartboard ends up working out.
Yeah, and we know the Canucks want to legitimately improve their forward.
They want a more surefire option than something like that.
And if we're looking at wings, right, and if Troy Terry very much falls into that wing category, to me, and we talked about him before too, like Ivan Barbashev makes a lot of sense. Mm. And he is a guy that they were interested in when he was a free agent. Well, he didn't get to free agency because the Vegas Golden Knights, after trading for him at the deadline and then winning the Stanley Cup, ultimately ended up signing him and extending him, I think, right before free agency began. But he was a player that if he got to free agency, the Canucks would have very much been interested.
They ended up signing Ilya Mikheyev.
Now, Barbashev doesn't have the same ceiling that Troy Terry does.
No. From a production standpoint.
No.
But is he a more functional player? He's going to help the Canucks forecheck, which was brutal last year.
Yeah.
You know, those are some of the things that Ivan Barbashev brings. And Vegas is going to, if they really want to take a run at Mitch Marner, they're going to have to open up cap space.
And I don't think you're getting Barbashev for a third the way the Canucks got Nate Schmidt from Vegas for a third.
Mm-hmm.
But is it unfair to say you can probably get him not paying a first, considering I don't even think they traded a first to acquire him, and he still has term left on his contract? And as good as he is, he's not a big point producer, not a big-time goal scorer, right? Could that be a contract you can get relatively cheap? Like, I'd rather go after Barbashev than paying a heavier price for say Troy Terry. Now, he's not even available. Again, if you want Troy Terry, I don't think they're giving him to you unless you're trading one of your best prospects. And I'm not sure I'm willing to do that for him.
It is one of the names that I think makes a lot more sense for the Vancouver Canucks. A guy who could play top six and help you out, brings a speed element that this team sorely needs. He checks a lot of boxes for this team. I don't think the Canucks would be alone in trying to get Ivan Barbashev if Vegas truly does try to move him.
So on the center front, Vegas might be looking to move Nick Roy. Is he a guy that you can project? It's probably similar. Like Nick Roy, the thing with Nick Roy is he's a right-handed center, has size, has physicality. Those guys are hard to come by.
I can't see him playing.
Be a second-line center?
I can't see that.
You think it's asking too much?
Yeah. One of the things like that. So you look at Filip Hedl, right, with the Canucks roster, and it's pretty obvious how the Canucks, because they've been so open about wanting a second-line center, they don't necessarily view Filip Hedl as that. So it's like Hedl's either one of two things for the Canucks. He's either third-line center or fits in as a top-six wing more so than the second-line center. Ultimately, all signs point back to them trying to acquire a second-line center. To me, that's not really Nick Roy. I think that's too much. You're trying to project too much,
but that's kind of where you're at, though, right? Like even if you go after Marco Rossi, you're projecting that he's going to.
Yeah, but at least
bigger.
I know Marco Rossi can score.
Yeah, I mean, fair, but yeah.
But I like Nick Roy as a player. He's maybe more
he's more functional.
He's got more elements. He's more practical as a player than maybe Marco Rossi is because of the size and everything else that he brings.
And it's interesting though because he's
still got to score more goals than the other team.
Yeah, but is Rossi going to give you 30 goals anyways? You know what I mean? So when we're looking at these players who are available here, right? So
but I'd rather bet on the guy who's 23 and has already shown that he can score 20 goals in the league and with the idea that there's more there than what Nick Roy has shown through his career.
Yeah. I mean, who's cheaper?
In trade, probably Nick Roy.
Yeah.
And from a cap perspective. And the thing with Rossi, 60 points, two-time, back-to-back 20-goal seasons here, was a ninth overall pick. So there's a track record there. And well, he's due for a contract at the same time.
But this is a kind of what we're looking at here, right? And this is what's so fascinating about this trade market, because what the Terry thing illuminates, because I do believe that Strickland is correct, that his name has come up, because names come up all the time. And I'm sure the Anaheim Ducks don't want to give him away. But it's about, can you actually get what you're looking for? And I think there are a lot of, and you know how we talk so much about there are names that we haven't heard yet that might be available, that the Canucks might be looking at?
Yeah.
Terry kind of fits that mold. Now his name kind of came up, right? And I think as far as what the Canucks might do, if we'd also tie toward, if we start looking at the connections and the players they've had levels of interest in the past, we know Martin Hachis, and we'll see if he actually is available or not. But Alexis Lafreniere, like, we've gone from he is available, he's not available, and then we spoke to Frank yesterday, and he kind of mentioned that, well, the contract doesn't look great either. No. So is there a willingness, perhaps, for the Rangers to move off of him, especially when the GM in place wasn't the guy who drafted him anyways? So if we're looking at all these players, is Lafreniere the guy, though? Like, would you feel better? Because, like, you know, as much I don't mind Rossi, I don't feel great about it. Lafreniere is not perfect either, but I'd almost rather take a chance at a Lafreniere type and a J.J. Paterka type and pay the bigger price as opposed to everything else we just discussed.
Lafreniere, I don't know, because I live in this world where I try to put myself in Chris Drury's shoes, and I'm like, if I'm trying to significantly change this team, Lafreniere's not a guy I want to trade because I see more upside there. Maybe they've just watched him too much, and you know, it's kind of worn thin on them how he's underachieved to this point of his career relative to being, you know, a first overall selection, of course. So there's always, I'm always open to understanding that point of it, but for an aging roster, even after they trade Kreider, they still have an aging roster with Zibanejad and Miller and Panarin and all these guys. Like, you need one of these younger guys.
No, for sure.
You already traded Kako away.
No, for sure, but that's the thing. At the same time, all those things are correct, but I'd rather still go after that player.
Yeah. I am more inclined to pay the higher price for something that has that's easier to make the projection on or see how that projection comes to fruition, lives in reality at some point in the future, rather than spend a big price on a guy that, you know, there's an element of, you know, there's a 30% chance he actually hits his projection or his ceiling as a player.
But he's probably not going to be this. And now, Lafreniere is interesting because I think he's a guy that a team can trade for. And like I've discussed before, I know there are people around the league that think he might be able to play center.
Yeah.
And they didn't really explore it with the Rangers. But he's not a guy you trade for and earmark to be a center. It's a guy that perhaps can be a center. So it doesn't solve your center position. But that's the same thing we talk about with Paterka. And his name obviously has come up, and the Canucks have a level of interest in too, which tells us that the Canucks want to raise a ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to raise your ceiling is to go after talented players, even if the best player available is a wing.
Yeah. They really seem to be looking in this 23 to 26, maybe 27 range of player, because they want somebody that they can project into the future with this roster with Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes.
And hopefully Detroit, like, we'll hear some more names, because it's getting more interesting. Because at least I know, you know, again, Terry may not be the perfect solution, but I wouldn't hate the team trading for him, because relatively young player, has shown an ability to score goals, and you have to take a flyer on somebody. You have to take all these guys are projections. Even J.J. Paterka, like, as good a year as he had, he wants to get paid. Yeah. So if you're trading for J.J. Paterka, it's not just trading for a guy who just had 60-odd some points in 60-whatever games he played. It's a guy that you're going to have to give a long-term contract to. And as good as Paterka was, how confident are you that J.J. Paterka is going to be an $8.5, $9 million player?
Not very.
Like, he still has to prove that, right? And he's probably the guy that we feel like is the best, most talented winger available.
Mm-hmm.
And even he comes with some question marks.
That's one of the things about trading for the RFA already. And one of the things that is tough in the league, especially for teams that have been in the basement for a while and the guys that they've drafted high have started to put up numbers, and now they're earning a pretty big number on their next contracts. And it's like, hey, I understand you've had some individual success, but also, like, we've done nothing as a team, and you're already asking for $9 million. So it becomes very difficult, and Buffalo's had to deal with that for a while.
Exactly. Keith, the water guy, brings up Cole Sillinger, who has been tied to the Canucks in the past. If you look at profile-wise, has a little bit of size. You know, he actually isn't great in the faceoff circle, but there's some projection that he could be better down the road here, right? Is projecting as a two-way type of guy, is being moved down the depth chart a little bit. The thing I keep wondering about with Columbus is, to the point you were making about the Rangers, but even more so with Columbus, are they even willing to move anybody right now?
Yeah.
When they are moving in the right direction, where they can kind of let it play out a little bit? But I think Cole Sillinger would kind of fit that under-the-radar projection to be maybe not your second-line center, but could he be the guy that does a lot of heavy lifting potentially, right? And he fits that mold at the very least.
Andrew Whiterock, everything you talk about is Band-Aid at best. Yeah. And Tony the Plumber, sign Besser and trade him to Minnesota with a second-round pick for Rossi. Seems like something that could be very very easily done in NHL 25. Don't know if it lives in reality, Tony, but the interesting part about the Besser equation, and I know there's always going to be links with him to Minnesota, but all the reporting out of Minnesota is similar to the Canucks front office. They like Besser, but they're not sure they like him at the number that Besser is projected to get.
Well, and I think Dolly today kind of mentioned that term might be the big issue for Besser. Mm. And I think that might be, you know, the Canucks, again, with the posture that Brock has taken throughout these, or at least his agent has taken throughout these negotiations, they believe that they have a sense that they're going to get more than Vancouver's offering.
Yeah.
But the Canucks are like, okay, prove it to us.
Yeah.
If you do, great. You know, good luck. Go and sign. We wish you nothing but the best. But if you don't, and we have cap space, you know, come back to us.
Owen Beck from Montreal, from Keith the Water Guy. I like Owen Beck, too. Young prospect, but that would be a lot of projection, and maybe not ready to take on a big role just yet in his career. All right, into the playoff central roundup. Couple of massive playoff games tonight. First one is local, here in Abbotsford, as we are at the Boston Pizza in Abbotsford at 32530 South Fraser Way. We're going to be heading to the Abbotsford Center in a little bit to check out the Abbey Canucks and Charlotte Checkers. Game 3, series tied up at one apiece. One of the bigger storylines, and I know some have reported and projected that Lekker Mackey could get back in, but that's maybe one of the big lineup decisions that Manny Malhotra has for tonight, because we know who his starting goalie is going to be. He's gone with Artur Shilovs the whole way.
Yeah, I mean, you're not changing that unless injuries comes up. And I want to see Lekker Mackey play. I think it would be a missed opportunity organizationally to not get him into at least a game or two in the final.
Yeah.
I get that he hasn't played great, and you know he had the dental surgery done after you know the incident he had, and he's had some issues, and he's a young player who's never played this many games. Like, there are all these factors that are justifiable and understandable, but I don't think there's an understandable, justifiable one that leaves him out of the lineup entirely for the full Calder Cup final experience, right? So I would imagine he's going to play games, and if he doesn't, hey, it's going to fuel the speculation that people think the Canucks have a trade in place and waiting for it. And the Canucks might make a trade as soon as the Calder Cup final ends, right? But I'm not saying that Lekker Mackey is getting dealt, but I can't imagine he's not going to get into a Calder Cup final game. It doesn't make any sense to not play him at least one game and give him a chance, doesn't it?
To me, it doesn't. Like, I think now that you come off the loss, it may be an opportunity to get him in here. You know, one of the issues about this, like, Lekker Mackey went cold, right? He had 5 games there without a point, was -5 in those 5 games, hadn't scored since the Colorado series, which was a couple of series ago now, and he hasn't played since June the 2nd. That's more than 2 weeks without game action now for Jonathan Lekker Mackey. I think the lineup decision that Manny has been making is essentially, I've got 2 offensively gifted forwards that I have a tough time trusting in all situations, Danila Klimovich and Jonathan Lekker Mackey. Lekker Mackey came out for Klimovich, and Klimovich has been good. He's chipped in offensively. He scored the OT winner in game 1. It's like, how can I take this guy out of the lineup when he's actually giving us a little bit of something? So that's worked against Lekker Mackey here. And eventually, you want to get him back in, but I think the credit is more to Klimovich for how well he's played since getting this latest opportunity with Lekker Mackey coming out. But I wonder if now is the time. I would hope now is the time to get Lekker Mackey back in there. They need a little bit more offense. They need to be able to control possession a little bit more, given they gave up, what, more than 40 shots in each of the first 2 games of the series against Charlotte.
Yeah.
Panthers and Oilers, game 6, and they're going back to Stuart Skinner as they try to stave off elimination.
Godspeed to the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, anytime you switch goalies and go back to that goalie again, it doesn't look very good. You know, like it's not a good situation to be in. And I picked the Oilers to win here in 7.
Yeah.
And I still think they can, obviously. I know Josh wants the Panthers to win here in six because that was his prediction.
Panthers in six.
Yes.
Go team. I believe it.
So I am all very understanding of the Oilers need to play better in front of their goaltenders, and they've given up too many rush chances, and Florida's really taken advantage of that. But especially early in games, goalie's got to make a save.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, yeah. First breakdown of the game and the puck's always going to the back of the net. You know, if you're the Oilers, you kind of feel like no wonder we're struggling to start because we feel like the first mistake we make is going to end up in the back of our net.
Well, yeah, and I mean, as much as, you know, they were saying it's not Pickard's fault last game, you still gave up, what, 4 goals on 17 shots?
You got to make high-danger saves.
You got to make a couple saves. Like, yeah. It's still 4 goals on 17 shots.
Yeah. And, you know, thinking back even to prior games before that, even the 6-1 game, the blowout, you know, Bob made some big saves on an Edmonton power play early in that first period, even though Florida was up 1-0, but Bob made it so that, you know, it stayed 1-0 early in that game. You got to make big saves, especially when the guy at the other end, is going to make some big saves through the course of the game. They're going to need that from Stuart Skinner tonight. Don Taylor is going to join us, his take on the Abbotsford Canucks, where the Canucks go in free agency, and the Stanley Cup Final. It's all coming up as he will join us on the hotline powered by Power West Industries. Don't get caught in the dark when it matters most. Visit them at powerwest.ca today. They keep the lights on. It's Canucks Central on location at the Abbotsford Boston Pizza ahead of Canucks and Checkers tonight on Sportsnet 650.